The 2022 Giants schedule is out. We're breaking it down for you here on the special edition of the Locked On Giants podcast coming up next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you, and we're coming to you with a special edition of the Locked On Giants podcast. The 2022 schedule is out. We know not only who the Giants are going to be playing, but when they are going to be playing the various opponents. And we are going to break all of that down on today's Locked On Giants podcast. Thank you, as always, for making us amongst your first listen of the day, or if watching your on YouTube, your first watch of the day. And before I get into the nitty-gritty of the schedule, just a quick reminder, the Giants do have rookie minicamp. It starts on Friday. And the media access is Friday and Saturday, so I am going to do a special weekend edition of the Locked On Giants podcast with my observations, thoughts, and so forth. If you want to find out about a specific player, you want to send me a question, sort of like a pseudo Twitter Tuesday, but not quite, just go ahead and send that to me at LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. Also, on Friday's show, I'm going to have a preview of sorts, kind of a State of the Giants preview that I did with Ed Valentine. We're going to talk about the draft class, what we expect to see, what we would like to see, that sort of thing. So that's going to be Friday's show. And that, of course, will drop, as usual, around midnight Eastern time, so that those of you who want to get into that can do so. And, of course, make sure you're following me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina or on Instagram at Patty Traina. I'll have quotes, videos, pictures, all kinds of stuff from the Giants rookie minicamp for you. So, and don't forget Giants Country too. That's where we're going to have the reports written up as well. So lots to come still here on in the land of the Giants. And I hope you will stay tuned to all that great coverage that I'm hoping to bring to you. All right, let's talk about the schedule. The schedule is out, as I mentioned. And for those of you watching on YouTube, you can see I have the video or a screenshot of the schedule. Those of you who are listening on our audio platforms, I'm going to put the entire schedule in the show notes if you want to check it. But we're going to talk about certain segments within the schedule and things that I like about the schedule, things that I don't like. We'll talk about the challenging games. We'll talk about the most exciting parts of the game. And then in the last segment, we're going to talk a little bit about how good the Giants' chances might be to win. And I'm going to take a little different approach with that than just giving you a prediction because, you know, quite honestly, it's too soon to give a prediction. But I have a different approach that I'm going to take that sort of dances on the borderline of giving you a prediction. So all that is coming up on the program. So let's get into it, shall we? We're going to take the first half of the schedule. The first half of the schedule. Now, just generally speaking, the schedule in itself is probably one of the best schedules the Giants have had in I can't tell you how long. And when I say that, I mean that there's really, I don't see any major pitfalls or any areas of the schedule where I sit there and say, oh my God, they have a murderer's row there, or oh my gosh, how are they going to come through this? So all things being equal, if the Giants are able to avoid the injury bug, big if given their history, this is actually a favorable schedule. Now, the bye week falls right smack in the middle of the schedule in week 9, comes after the Seattle game, a road game against Seattle, versus the road game to London against the Packers. So we'll talk more about that. The beginning of the schedule is set up beautifully. The ending of the schedule is set up nice. We're going to go over all that. So let's focus on the first part of the schedule. And I want to look at the first 4 weeks of the schedule. Week 1, Giants are at Tennessee. Week 2, they're home against Carolina. Week 3, home against Dallas on Monday night. And week 4, they are home against Chicago. All right, now, what is significant about the beginning part of the schedule, besides the fact that they have a stretch there of 3 home games in a row. Well, the Giants are playing two teams, Tennessee and Dallas, who were playoff teams last year. Two of six games that they will have this year on the schedule against teams that made the playoffs. And it just so happens, folks, that four of the games happen to come against the same teams. So that would be two against Dallas, two against the Eagles. So it is, you know, a fairly, I don't want to say easy schedule, because strength of schedule, you know, teams have done things to change up. And I think when you look at a team, rather than look at their record last year, you have to more or less look at where are they in their quote unquote rebuild, if they are in a rebuild, or where are they in terms of, you know, their roster, how strong is their roster? And that's how you can kind of determine if a team is, you know, definitely more superior than your team. So that's the approach I'm going to take actually later on when we do a game by game breakdown. But I look at those first four weeks of the Giants schedule, and I potentially see two very winnable games, Carolina and Chicago. Carolina, you know, they've had some changeover. They still have a huge question mark at quarterback. And look, I get it. The Giants do as well. But right now, if you're asking me, Sam Darnold or Daniel Jones, I'm probably going to lean a little bit more towards Daniel Jones, to be honest with you. I'm also going to lean a little bit more towards the Giants defense, which was significantly upgraded. And if Sam Darnold is starting for the Panthers, even though, you know, now they've got Ben McAdoo, and Ben McAdoo, when he was offensive coordinator with the Giants, was able to get the Giants offense to 2 years that he was OC, got the Giants offense into the top 10 league-wide. I'm not so sure Ben McAdoo is going to be able to work the same wonders with Sam Darnold. And of course, they have the rookie quarterback that they drafted, Matt Corral. So basically, their quarterback situation is kind of a big question mark. I can see, you know, that game being a winnable one, definitely. And then Chicago, we'll talk about Chicago. Like the Giants, they have a new coaching staff. They still have a young quarterback who, in Justin Fields, who, you know, it's not horrible, but the jury's still out. They lost their best receiver, Allen Robinson. These are two games, folks, in the first four that I think are winnable. And if the Giants can start out 2-2, I take that, given, you know, where the Giants are in terms of having a new coaching staff, having new systems, needing to kind of, you know, get everything together and learn to play fast. So I would take that. Now, of Tennessee and Dallas, Dallas, if I'm not mistaken, traditionally can start slow. So I could potentially see that game, even though it's a Monday night game and the Giants don't really do well on Monday night, I could see that game possibly going in the Giants' favor. The Giants have had a little better luck with the Cowboys at home than they have on the road. But a lot's going to depend, like I said, on availability and stuff. So I don't want to sit here and tell you that it's definitely going to be a win, but the Cowboys do historically start slowly. So the first four games, I think, are going to be key. It's going to tell us a lot about the Giants. Now, what I'm going to be looking for from the Giants in those first four games is how quickly do they come out of the gate? And this is one of the concerns that I have about this team. How are they going to practice during the summer? Are they going to be ready? Now, I talked about, I have talked about last year, how I thought Joe Judge kind of went soft or easy on the players, and the Giants just didn't look ready for the first four games of the season, two of which were very winnable games. And that just kind of set the tone for the entire season. So I would like to see the Giants come out of the gate for these first four games and really come swinging. And that's going to tell us, I think that's going to give us a good indication as to just how far this rebuild has come. And let's face it, the Giants are in a rebuild, and just maybe give us a little hint as to what we might be able to expect of this Giants team for the rest of the season, assuming everybody stays healthy. Now, I mentioned the first week two, week three, week four. That's the only stretch in the schedule in which the Giants have three home games in a row. So it kind of works out, you know. I think to get the Chicago Bears on a short work week, I think that's pretty fair. I mean, again, the Bears have done stuff to improve themselves, but are they vastly improved? Jury's still out. you know, and we have to obviously go through training camp and see what the final rosters look like. But right now, if you were to ask me, are the Bears vastly improved? I'm going to say they're probably on the same level, if not maybe a little behind the Giants, who also have that new coaching staff and new GM tandem, just like the Bears do, by the way. All right, week five, the Giants go across the pond to London, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, to face the Green Bay Packers. Now, that's a tough one. That's going to be an exciting one as well. The Packers and the Giants, I think, you know, they always play each other tough. The Packers dominating. And so, you know, you're going to get Aaron Rodgers. But for the Giants, you're going to have Saquon Barkley. Hopefully, you're going to have Kayvon Thibodeau. You're going to have Xavier McKinney, that pass rush. You're going to have Kenny Golladay, hopefully, who you know, it breaks his slump and starts catching touchdown passes. So that's going to be an interesting game. And I'm curious to see, you know, with the Packers, they obviously lost, you know, Davante Adams after trading him away. But they did draft another receiver. You know, is he going to be as potent as Adams was? And that's a big question mark for me. So I'm not going to say that game is necessarily a one that the Giants are not going to win, but something to keep an eye on. What was interesting is that after the Week 5 game, instead of taking the bye week, the Giants decided to continue, or the schedule makers, I should say, maybe not the Giants. Maybe the Giants gave them input, I don't know. But the Giants don't have a bye after that London game. And here's what I'm thinking. I don't know the travel schedule yet, but I could see a scenario where after that London game is played, the Giants get on a plane, maybe take the red eye back to the States, you know, on a Sunday night. They have Monday and Tuesday off, and then on Wednesday, they should be fresh as daisies as they begin preparing for the Baltimore Ravens, a team, by the way, that has always played the Giants pretty tough. You know, so the Ravens, that's a team that I would say is going to be a big challenge for the Giants in that first half of the season. Now, the final two games before the bye, I think, you know, I don't want to call them cakewalks because there is no such thing as a cakewalk, but they're favorable. So the Giants in week 7 get the Jacksonville Jaguars on the road. Not a big trip. We're talking just down the coast. Giants play Jacksonville, who is another team that's kind of, you know, coming together. Head coach Doug Peterson, who famously screwed the Giants a couple years ago when he was with Philadelphia. We all remember that. Now the head coach down in Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence is a young quarterback, an up-and-coming quarterback. They feel pretty good about down there. But Jacksonville, a team that, you know, if I had to sit here and predict the game right now, which I really don't want to do, but I would feel pretty good about where the Giants stack up against the Jaguars as of right now. But again, more on that later. The following week, week 8, the Giants are off to Seattle. Now, that's going to be a big road trip for them in terms of mileage, in terms of wear and tear. But the benefit is that, A, they don't have to face Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is now in Denver. So the quarterback for the Hawks is either going to be Drew Locke, who struggled with Denver, or it's going to be Geno Smith, former Giant. Or actually, he was with us with the Giants for 1 year. So that game, that's going to be an exciting game because playing in Seattle is always difficult. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. The fans at base out there, you know, they talk about the 12th man. Just a really, really difficult place to play. So in terms of, you know, games that I would circle on my calendar, and I obviously circle them all because I have to work them, but if I were just, you know, the casual fan and you were to say to me, which games from the first half of the season are must-watch games, I would say probably Tennessee because I'd want to see where the Giants are in terms of their progress. Dallas is always a must-see game. That's a primetime game, so obviously that would be on there. And then I would probably say, I'm probably going to say Baltimore and Seattle for the reasons that I just said before. Baltimore always playing the Giants tough, and Lamar Jackson's just, you know, an amazing player. So that would be an interesting game to see if the Giants finally have a defense that can slow this guy down. Wink Martindale, the former Ravens defensive coordinator, hopefully has an idea how to slow this guy down after facing him in practice for a number of years. And then Seattle to, you know, the challenge for the 12th man and all that stuff. So the Giants with the bye week in week 9, again, falls perfectly right smack in the middle. Couldn't ask for a better, you know, break, like I said. An opportunity for the Giants to rest up and heal. Now, the Giants coming off of a bye week, not very good. I think they have a 40-something percent win rate when they come off of the bye week. It's, I want to say, it's down at the bottom. I want to say it's either, I think it's 27th. They have the 27th best record in the NFL after a bye. So, you know, bye week's got to happen sooner or later. But as I will discuss in the next segment, the second half of the schedule is very favorable. So stick around. We'll get to that just in just a moment. All right, Giant fans, still more to come on this special edition of the Locked On Giants podcast as we break down the Giants' 2022 schedule. But first, BetOnline is the only place that offers the best information on the latest odds, contests, and player props for all your sports betting needs. No matter what sport you're into, BetOnline.net has you covered. Plus, they offer everything you need to know for live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head on over to BetOnline.net today to learn more about the trends and the action. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to the Locked On Giants podcast. Patricia Traina here, and we are talking Giants 2022 schedule. And speaking of schedule, check out the Locked On NFL podcast. They're doing a complete look at the NFL schedule for all 32 teams. They're highlighting, you know, the games that are must watch. You know, they're talking about little nuances about the schedule. Really good stuff. I highly recommend you check them out after, of course, you get done with the Locked On Giants podcast here. And hope you are enjoying the Locked On Giants podcast. All right, let's look at the second half of the Giants schedule. So what's jumped out to me is the first 5 weeks of the schedule. And in those first 5 weeks, the Giants have 4 home games, including 2 back-to-back stretches. So week 10 and week 11, they're at home against Houston and Detroit. Week 12, they go down to Dallas for Thanksgiving. First Thanksgiving game since, I believe, 2017, I want to say. And second one that I know of against Dallas. Then they come home and they have week 13 and week 14 against the Commanders and the Eagles. Again, a very favorable start in order to pick up where they left off, all right? So hopefully the Giants manage to, you know, have at least a 500 record going into the bye week, or maybe even a winning record. But the start of the schedule in the second half, not that bad. Houston, who, you know, is a team in transition. Detroit, who's still trying to find its footing under head coach Dan Campbell, a former Giant, by the way. Dallas, at that point, you know, Dallas is usually a team that gets stronger as they go on in the season, so that could be a potentially tough game. And then you have Washington and Philadelphia. You know, Washington, actually, that's the first time the Giants are going to see Washington and Philadelphia. And they'll see Washington twice in the span of 3 weeks. They see him in week 13 and week 15. So Washington, the big concern, obviously, is with quarterback. You know, they traded for Carson Wentz with the Colts. Is Carson Wentz the real deal? Can he take them over the hump? That remains to be seen. 2 coaching staffs have kind of given up on him. Can Ron Rivera get the most out of this guy? Maybe. I know that Washington did draft Sam Howell in the event that Carson Wentz is not the long-term answer. And who knows? He might be playing by then. You never know. So, but what's interesting, again, is like I said, they have they have 4 of their first 5 games out of the gate following the bye at home. But what's also interesting is from week 12 down to week 18, they are facing NFC East teams in, 5 of the 7 games remaining. All right. So they've got Dallas, the Thanksgiving game. Then they're home against Washington and Philadelphia. Then they go on the road against Washington. So there's a stretch of four straight games against NFC East opponents. That, folks, is where playoffs start to take shape. If you are going to win the division, you have got to beat your division opponents. So that stretch between week 12 and week 15 going to be a big one for the Giants, because they are going to hit every single one of their division opponents in that stretch. And then, of course, in the case of Washington, they're going to hit them up twice. All right, then week 16, they go out of the division when they visit Minnesota. And then week 17, they have the Colts. That's going to be on January 1st, 2023. And then week 18 at Philadelphia, they're going to close against the Eagles in primetime in Philly. That should be a fun game. Talking about, you know, games you want to circle on your calendar, that's definitely one you want to circle. The Minnesota game, by the way, is on Christmas Eve. So the Giants, you know, they'll be out there. I think that's a 1 o'clock game, if I'm not mistaken. They'll be out there for Christmas Eve. You know, it's just the way it is, folks. You know, in the NFL, it's the luck of the draw. You know, sometimes you have to work on a holiday. Sometimes you don't have to. The Giants have been pretty fortunate in the past not having to work on a holiday, not having to go overseas to, you know, London. This year, they not only have to go to London, but they have the Thanksgiving game, the Christmas Eve game, and a New Year's Day game. Now, a couple of those games, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think have been set in stone, the dates. It's either going to be a either-or type of situation. Actually, the Eagles game, there's no date set for that. I think it's going to be one or the other. It's a choice of either a Saturday or Sunday game. So it could depend on, you know, what the division looks like at that point. But the second half of the schedule, folks, I think is where, if the Giants are going to make the playoffs this year, and that's a big if, because, again, we need to see how they come out of the gate, that's where it's going to be won, in that last stretch or so. So I'm curious, obviously, to see how that plays out. In terms of games I would be looking to circle on my calendar if I didn't have to cover all of them, the Dallas Thanksgiving game, obviously. I mean, I watch football every year on Thanksgiving, so what's the difference if I have to work that game? I'm going to say the Eagle game in week 18, because, again, it could come down to positioning in terms of, you know, division winner versus a wild card. I would circle Detroit, but only because, you know, the Dan Campbell connection. I covered Dan Campbell when he was here. Great guy, and it's going to be good to see him again. But, you know, I just don't know if the team itself, how the football's going to be. I still say, you know, Detroit probably needs, you know, an upgraded quarterback. But look, they did a great job upgrading their defense. They have Aiden Hutchinson, so that'll be interesting to watch Hutchinson try go against the Giants' projected offensive tackles of Andrew Thomas and of Evan Neal. So that'll be an interesting battle. Those would be the games that I would probably circle as the ones I'm interested in watching. But all of them, like I said, I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be covering for you, just like we always do every year here at the Locked On Giants podcast. But so overall, again, the Giants' schedule, I don't see any true pitfalls. I really don't. I like the placement of the bye. I like how the road games, you know, the lengthy road games are spread out. You don't have them back to back where, you know, you have to necessitate spending time out on the West Coast. I think there are definitely some winnable games based on where the opponents are in their roster building process versus where the Giants are. I like the whole structure. I mean, I think it's a fair, just schedule. Now, the one thing that can obviously torpedo this whole thing, this enthusiasm that I feel, is if there are injuries. That could totally, you know, send this whole thing down the drain. But that being said, in the next segment, I'm going to go down game by game. Not going to really try and predict who's going to win, because that would be kind of impossible. But we'll do kind of a comparison based on what we know as of today, schedule release day, where each team is in their roster building process, and who might have the advantage. So that is coming up next on the Locked On Giants podcast. All right, Giant fans, we have more coming up on today's Locked On Giants podcast, special edition of Locked On Giants podcast. But first, Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, but without the calories and without the sugar. Most Built Bars contain about 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein, and they taste great. Built Bar offers 9 amazing flavors in nut and nut-free variety, plus a rotating limited-time offering of different flavors that changes up every so many weeks. Head on over to BuiltBar.com today and see what their current flavor lineup looks like. And use our special promo code LOCK15 to save 15% off your first order. Again, that's code LOCK15 to save 15% off your first order at BuiltBar.com. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to the Locked On Giants podcast. Patricia Traina here with you, and we're going to go down the list of Giants opponents, and I'm going to try and kind of give you how I'm feeling these games right now. And again, this is based on where the teams are in their respective rebuilds. I don't really want to sit here and give you a prediction, a win-loss prediction, but, you know, things can change, obviously. So I got to put that disclaimer on. And I also forgot to mention something in the last segment, and that is, I forgot to mention where the toughest part of the schedule is for the Giants, or the most challenging, I should say. And the most challenging part is probably between weeks 5 and weeks 8, because they have to do, they're going to be doing a lot of traveling in that span. Week 5 is Green Bay in London, then Jacksonville and Seattle. So they've got 3 of those 4 trips are on the road, roughly 13,000 miles or some chains worth of air travel. So that's going to be a tough and challenging one. But hey, like I said, they've got the bye, so that's all well and good. All right, let's go down the list now and kind of figure out who's currently a little more ahead of the other in terms of their roster. We're going to start with the Tennessee Titans. I got to go with the Titans there. I think the Titans are a little bit more advanced right now in their roster rebuild. They, like I said, they're coming off of a playoff berth last year. The Giants haven't sniffed the playoffs in quite some time. New system, new head coach, new everything. I got to give Tennessee the edge right there. Week 2 against Carolina. This is a make or break year for Matt Rhule, plain and simple. And I mentioned before the quarterback situation is a big question mark. And I get it. The Giants quarterback situation is also a question mark, but I'm going to give the edge here to the Giants as being a little further developed than the Panthers. And that's me saying that without really knowing what the Giants are going to do on offense and defense, just based on the little clues and nuggets that I have been able to put together towards building this picture. Week 3 against Dallas, Monday Night Football. Monday night is never kind to the Giants. I don't think they have a winning record. Personally, I hate Monday Night Football from a coverage standpoint because it's late. It makes for a short work week. But that being said, the Cowboys, as I have said before, they don't usually start off quickly. But you know what? They're a little bit more, the roster's a little bit more solidified, I think, by the Cowboys. And one move in particular I'm curious to see is if Ezekiel Elliott loses the starting running back job to Tony Pollard, who I think, by the way, is a better running back than Zeke right now. So if Pollard becomes the main man in that running game, I think I might be a little concerned there. And I think I would say I have to give the nod to Dallas. Week 4, Chicago. The Chicago Bears, again, like the Giants, new head coach, new system, young quarterback. You can say they're on par, but I'm going to give the edge to the Giants right now. I think the Giants defense is going to be able to rattle Justin Fields right there. And as I mentioned, the Bears don't have Allen Robinson, who's like their number one receiver. They weren't able to sign him back. And, you know, that's a big loss for that Bears offense. So I'm going to give the edge to the Giants. Week 5, Green Bay in London. Now, the Giants are undefeated in London games. They play there twice, once against Miami in 2007. That was the inaugural game of the International Series. And then they faced the Rams, I believe it was in 2016, I want to say. And they won both games. Folks, if Aaron Rodgers is playing, my money's on him. Even though, like I said, they did lose Davante Adams, I got to go with the Packers and say that they're going to be a little bit further ahead of the Giants in terms of the roster, based on what we know today. All right, week 6 against the Ravens at home. Got to give the edge to the Ravens. They upgraded the defense. They had added Kyle Hamilton. Lamar Jackson, as I said, is just an absolute headache to stop because he can make plays with his legs. I do think, you know, the Giants beefed up the run defense somewhat, but the jury's kind of still out. I think if you're talking about who's a little further along with their roster development, I'm going to go with the Ravens there. Week 8 at Seattle, they traded away Russell Wilson, as noted. It's either going to be Drew Lock, who is, you know, not an upper-tier quarterback, or Geno Smith. They did address the offensive line. The Hawks added Charles Cross to that offensive line. But I'm going to go and say that the Giants are probably a little bit further along than the Seahawks. I'm going to, you know, if this game were to be played tomorrow, I would probably pick the Giants in an upset. I don't think they would be favored, but I would pick them in an upset. All right, week 10, the Houston Texans. Who's, you know, the Texans seem content with going with Davis Mills after trading away Deshaun Watson. The Texans also lost Tyrod Taylor, their backup, who is now with the Giants. So if Mills is injured, who's going to play quarterback for them? I know it's we have no guarantees as to who's going to play, who's not going to play. But at that point in the season, players do get banged up. I just feel like the Texans are still kind of trying to figure out how to rebuild. They have a new head coach with Lovie Smith, who's a great defensive mind. And by the way, I think that should be one of the most underrated battles. Lovie Smith, who, as I said, is a defensive-minded head coach, versus Brian Daboll, an offensive-minded head coach. So that should be a nice little battle, assuming, of course, that the quarterback play is up to snuff and, you know, the defenses, you know, bring the goods. Dallas in week 12 on Thanksgiving. Like I said, I'm going to say if, you know, I said before that Dallas is probably a little further along than the Giants, but in terms of the season series, I'd like to see them split. I'd like to see the Giants ideally upset the Cowboys in week 3. And if they have to give up the game, you know, in week 12, I wouldn't like it, but I think I could live with it. I mean, because again, that is the start of a critical stretch of games for the Giants in the division. Week 13, they play Washington. They actually play Washington week 13, week 15. Washington's quarterback situation is still kind of a head scratcher for me. I think the Giants, if Daboll can get the most out of Daniel Jones, I think I got to get the edge there to the Giants. Week 14, the Eagles. Now, this Eagles team, they always seem to figure out how to get the Giants' number. Always. They play the Giants week 14, week 18. Week 18 is going to be a Sunday night game, it looks like. I'm going to say, because the Eagles... Actually, you know what? I would almost say that the two teams are probably about even in terms of where they are in terms of their roster. I mean, if you want to give an advantage, you could say the Eagles, because they have the same coaching staff returning from last year. But I still have questions about, you know, Jalen Hurts. Is he going to be the quarterback that takes the Eagles over the edge? You know, right now, a lot of unanswered questions, I think, for them. And then we'll see, obviously, with the offensive line, if that offensive line can hold up. The defense, which... you know, I think lost some firepower there. So I'm going to give the Eagles a slight edge, I think, in that matchup. Minnesota in week 16. I'm going to say, see, Minnesota. Let me think about that for a second. The Vikings. I'm going to say with the Vikings, they did tweak their defense a little bit. They let go of Michael Pierce, defensive tackle, who was a big run stuffer when he was healthy and when he was on the field. I think if the Giants have a healthy Saquon Barkley, who's on a hot streak and playing his best ball at by the end of the season, I would give the nod there to the Giants, because the Vikings are starting over. They have a new head coach as well. I'm going to say, like I said, I think I'm going to go with the Giants. I'm going to give them the slight edge in that matchup based on what we know today of the rosters. And then finally, we have the Colts, week 17 on New Year's Day. The Colts, obviously not a team the Giants face every year or every so many years, but I think if I had to pick who has the advantage in that game, I'm going to give the Colts the advantage. They acquired edge rusher Yannick Ngakoue in a trade for Rakia Sin with the Vegas Raiders. And this is a guy who's had double-digit sacks in his last 2 years. So they really beefed up that pass rush, I think. They acquired Matt Ryan, who's still a very good quarterback. I got to say at this point, even though the Colts also took a little bit of a hit on their offensive line, losing Mark Lewinsky to the Giants, I'm going to say the Colts are maybe a little further along in their development than the Giants at this stage of the game. So whether that all translates to wins and losses, that remains to be seen, because the rosters are still being built. But overall, folks, good group of opponents, favorable schedule. There are some winnable games. I really think that there are favorable games here on this list. And we'll see what happens, because that's why you line up to play the game any given Sunday and all that jazz. So, all right, folks, that is going to do it for us on today's Locked On Giants podcast, a special schedule release show of the Locked On Giants podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you tune in Friday. I have Ed Valentine joining me as we preview the Giants rookie minicamp this weekend and talk about a little bit about the state of the Giants that's coming your way. That show will drop tonight, Thursday night at midnight, if you want to check that out. And it'll run, of course, all day tomorrow. So thank you, as always, for listening, and keep it here on the Locked On Giants podcast for more New York Giants coverage.